Let all the people sing out his praise. Let every nation rejoice. Glorious praise will fill the sky. The heavens break forth in song. Mountains and hills will sing out his praise. All of the earth will rejoice. Trees of the field will clap their hands, and the rocks will sing for joy. Alleluia! Let every voice proclaim. Alleluia! Lift up his holy name. Jesus, Savior, ever his truth shall reign. Hallelujah, hail the King, sing forth his glorious name. Glory and honor we bring to you, praises we joyfully sing. All power and praise be given you, our Savior and Lord and King. And true, mighty defender, our strength and shield, forever your kingdom will reign. Alleluia, let every voice proclaim. Alleluia, lift up his holy name. Jesus, Savior, ever his truth shall reign. Alleluia, hail the King, sing forth his glorious name. Sing forth his glorious name. Sing forth his glorious name. Sing forth his glorious name.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
Well, that's pretty good. That's really great. I am sorry about you all over here. I'm going to have my back to you most of the time. It's not like I'm ignoring you or anything, but in order to stay out of the picture here, I guess we've got to have to do that. But good to see you all, too. And I have to apologize. I'm sure they look fine to you, but they may be a little bit tired because we were coming from Indiana, and I forgot about the time change. It's been a long time since I've lived in Indiana, you know, and so we were here an hour earlier than we planned today, so if they fall asleep, I'll just wake them up real quick. We'll be fine. But hey, it's great to be back here with you again. Thank you, Brother Adam. I'll make up some nickname for you sometime, too. That'll be great. But we are delighted to be here. Bethany is no longer with us. She's not dead. She's just married and gone off with Riley, and she's been traveling with the Aaron Coffey ministry team. And Alyssa is right here. She just graduated from college and will be starting her master's here in a few days. Joshua just graduated from high school and will be starting at the college in a few days as well. And Sarah is a junior in high school. And then you all know my wife, Debbie. Our subject matter this morning is truth. You know, your pastor gets up every Sunday morning and hopefully shares the truth from the Word of God. And today, that's very important to know what the truth is. Now, today we're going to look at a man who his life was based on truth, and it was very successful. And this man was successful not just because he had a lot of money, although he was very wealthy.
His success wasn't dependent on how smart he was.
His success was not even measured by how many friend groups he had.
His success wasn't even determined by how much fun he had in life.
But his success was measured by what he did with truth.
The name of this successful man is Joshua. And this morning, as we take a look at Joshua, we're going to be looking at a number of things that he teaches us in our lives. His biggest instruction to us comes from Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You see, first of all, Joshua teaches us that we need to learn the truth of God's word. Being in it, in the morning, in the afternoon, all day long, learning the truth of God's word. And when we know the truth, we can trust every word that God says.
We live in a world that is changing. Old things seem to need rearranging. Have we forgotten where we're leaning? On the edge of the unknown. Lord, I fear we are all so used to changing. We touch things not needing arranging. Till at times we feel like saying, nothing good can stay. Until we hear a voice that's never changed. You can trust my ways. I give you my word. When I trust your every word, I'm showing that I need you. With every truth obeyed, I'm showing that I heed you. On every page, on every line, you place them there by design. And your voice is heard when I trust your every word.
Lord, we still tend to question what you're saying. Maybe out of practice obeying. Have we forgotten where we're heading? A forever without end. Lord, now I am offering my trust. Having faith in faith is not enough. My faith can shake or break. But you are always the same.
They say words may come, words may go. Words may change their meaning.
But I have heard a voice that's never changed. You can trust my ways. I give you my word. When I trust your every word, I'm showing that I need you. With every truth obeyed, I'm showing that I heed you. On every page, on every line, you place them there by design. And your voice is heard when I trust your every word.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Joshua. As we all know that he grew up in the land of Egypt. He was a slave. And he saw the 10 plagues. He saw God's power. Walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. Saw manna from the sky, water from the rock. And when they got to the promised land, he was one of the 12 spies that was sent in to spy out the land. He and his friend Caleb came back and they said, boy, there's a lot of people there. It's going to be tough, but it's a wonderful land and we can do it. Look at all God has done thus far. He will give us this land. But the other 10 spies said, no way, we can't do it. And they convinced the people to turn around and go back to the wilderness, where they spent the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Well, then 40 years later, Moses is off the scene, and now Joshua is in charge. And though we might think that, may not think about this, he must have been a little bit tentative, maybe afraid, because no less than 6 times at the beginning of the book of Joshua, God says, be not afraid, be of good cheer, be courageous. You see, Joshua, God was telling Joshua that he would be with him. And you know what? God has given us that same thought. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We can trust God's word, and when we do, we don't have to fear.
You search all of this life and never understand why the storms and all the strife seem unguarded by God's hand.
Raise your weary eyes.
Raise your weary, lift your tired eyes. Christ has conquered death,
and he listens when you cry.
Listens when you cry. There's no valley, there's no place, there's no danger you must face. There is no place, and cries your tears before you do. He is there, he is here. Don't you fear. His word will be your light. His voice will be your guide. His hands will give you strength with his spirit by your side.
Raise your weary,
lift your tired eyes. Christ has conquered death.
He will raise you to the sky.
Raise you to the sky. There's no valley, there's no place, there's no danger you must face. There is no place, and cries your tears before you do. He is there, he is here, don't you fear. Why are you cast down, my soul, and why have you no song? Hope thou in God, he is your tower strong. God is my salvation strength, and his is now my song. Hope thou in God, he is your tower strong. There's no valley, there's no place, there's no danger you must face. There is no place, and cries your tears before you do. And there's no valley, there's no place, nowhere that's beyond his grace.
Be strong,
he walks with, knows your steps before you do. He is there, he is here, don't you fear. He is there, he is here, don't you fear.
Well, they faced some obstacles when they went into the promised land. The first thing was the Jordan River. Now, we talked about that in Sunday school a little bit today. And back during this time, the Jordan River was a wide flowing, raging river. And so how is he supposed to get all these people, a million plus people, across the river? Well, God told him to have the priests put the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders and step out into the Jordan River, signifying that God would go before them into the promised land. And when they did, the waters parted and they all walked across on dry ground. There was another obstacle, Jericho, we'll talk about in just a minute. But before we do, I'm wondering if you've had the same question that I had when you read this narrative. And the Israelites come in and drive out and destroy the people in the land of Canaan. Why did God destroy all the people in the land of Canaan? And the answer to that question is, he didn't. He offered salvation. We have this beautifully illustrated in the life of Rahab, a lady who lived in Jericho but believed God Jehovah And as a token of her faith, she put that red cord out her window when they came, and God saved her and her house. What an amazing thing it is that God saved people in the land of Canaan. And you know what? He still saves people today. You might think, oh, it's a lost cause, but it's not. God is saving people today. Don't forget that. Jesus still saves. Well, next we have, let me just mention a little bit more about Rahab. She now lives in the Promised Land, and she marries a guy by the name of Salmon. Salmon and she have a son whose name was Boaz. You might recognize him as the husband of Ruth. They were actually in the line of David, and actually even in the line of Christ. What a wonderful picture of Jesus saving whosoever will may come. Well, let's talk about Jericho now. We've got this big, huge city, well fortified, and a bunch of slaves that have been wandering around the wilderness for the last 40 years. How are they supposed to conquer this land? Well, the captain of the Lord's army, many scholars believe that this was pre-incarnate Jesus Christ himself, came to Joshua and gave him the battle plan. And here it is, 13 circles. March around the city once each day, and on the seventh day, march around seven times. And you probably know the story. On that seventh time around, the walls came a-tumbling down. Thank you. Well, Joshua teaches us, first of all, that we need to learn the truth. Learn the truth of God's word. When they finished at Jericho, one of the stipulations that God gave was to leave everything in the city. The spoils belong to God. And so now they're going into the promised land. You might think that everything is good from now on. But that brings us to the second point of Joshua's sermon to us today, and that is this. We've got to live the truth. It's not enough just to learn it. You must live day by day. And there are times when Joshua did not. In fact, Joshua at that point, little city of Ai, much smaller than Jericho, just sent a few thousand soldiers over to take care of them, and they were defeated at Ai. The Bible doesn't even tell us that he consulted God about it. He just sent them over. 36 Israelites died in that battle. And when they came back, Joshua went to the Lord and said, Lord, what's wrong? You said you'd... God said, Joshua, there's sin in the camp. And it's a good lesson to us. God can't bless us fully when there's sin in our lives. And so they had to take care of that sin. Even later on, they were told not to make any treaties with the people of the land. And another place, Joshua, the Bible doesn't say that he consulted the Lord on this. He just made a treaty with the Gibeonites, and it came back to haunt them. And so Joshua is a good reminder also to us that we should live the truth as well. How do you do that? I mean, how can you be reminded of all the things that God wants us to do every day? Well, that's why we need to be in his word. And that's why we need to rely on him through the power of his Holy Spirit. The songwriter put it this way, I need thee every hour. Well, now Joshua and the people go into the promised land, and they are doing everything what God wants them to do, living in the truth, having learned the truth, and they were able to do some amazing things. At one point, Joshua asked God to hold the sun still. He needed more time, and God did that. God destroyed one army totally with hailstones, drove a bunch of people out with hornets at one point. It's an interesting story there. And in all, they were able to actually conquer 31 kings and countries in that land, went on and did those amazing things. You know what? They were reminded to live what Moses had taught them. You probably have heard this. This is back in the book of Deuteronomy. And the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And Joshua and the people were committed to what God wanted them to do.
I'm committing this day to you. Not one thing's gonna stand in my way. I'm committing this day to you. Oh Lord, I'm committing this day to you. Not one thing's gonna stand in my way. I'm committing this day to you. My heart, Lord of my heart, from the start, here is my heart. My heart, Lord of my heart, from the start, here is my heart. My mind, Lord of my mind, all of the time, here is my mind. My mind, Lord of my mind, all of the time, here is my mind. Oh Lord, I'm committing this day to you. Not one thing's gonna stand in my way. I'm committing this day to you. My soul, Lord of my soul, from the word go, here is my soul. My soul, Lord of my soul, from the word go, here is my soul. My strength, Lord of my strength, all that I do, here is my strength. My strength, Lord of my strength, all that I do, here is my strength. Oh Lord, I'm committing this day to you. Not one thing's gonna stand in my way. I'm committing this day to you. I will seek you, Lord, I'll seek you. I will seek you, Lord. I will seek you, Lord, I'll seek you. I will seek you with all of my heart and all of my mind, all of my soul and all of my strength. Not one thing's gonna stand in my way. I'm committing this day to you. Oh Lord, I'm committing this day to you. Not one thing's gonna stand in my way. I'm committing this day. Oh Lord, I'm committing this day. Not one thing's gonna stand in my way. I'm committing this day. All of my heart and all of my mind, all of my soul and all of my strength.
Well, the formula for success is pretty clear. You learn and live, obey God, and He blesses. You disobey God, and there's hardship and there's failure. And, none of us is exempt from hardship, is there? I mean, the Israelites still had to go in and conquer. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible is very clear that we're all sinners and we can't save ourselves. And that's why Jesus came to earth, died on the cross, paid the penalty for our sin, so that if we will trust Him, He takes away our sin. We receive His righteousness. We become a child of God. You know, there's a lot of different opinions as to how to get to God these days, but it's still only one way. Jesus made it very clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's still the cross. The lonely night, the agony, the crying in Gethsemane, the Lord of life pursued His death, and willingly God's wrath accept. It's still the cross, it's still the blood, it's still His dying act of love, compelling me to spend my life in giving.
satisfied the sinner's debt. It's still the cross, it's still the blood, it's still his dying act of love, compelling me to spend my life in giving everything for Christ, in giving everything for Christ. The brilliant light, the stone removed, the echo of his empty tomb. The Lord of life had banished death, its fatal sting, a vacant threat. The greatest love, the sacrifice, the triumph of the cross of Christ. The Lord of life demands my death, to live for him with every breath. It's still the cross, it's still the cross, it's still the cross, it's still the blood, it's still his dying act of love, compelling me to spend my life in giving everything for Christ, in giving everything for Christ. It's still the cross.
Well, before we go too much further in the life of Joshua, and we're getting just almost done, I want to mention that guy I mentioned earlier, Caleb. Back when he and Joshua went into the promised land, he saw a mountain, a plot of land that he wanted. And he came back and told Joshua, that's the land I want. And so after the 40 years of wandering, and then after the years of conquering in Canaan, Caleb, who is an old man now, and yet the Bible says that he was still strong, he comes to Joshua and says, all right, I want that mountain. And Joshua said, go to it. And he and his family went, and they took that mountain. Now, it's interesting because this was the hardest land in all of Canaan to take. It was the highest, and the Anakim lived there, and that were giants. And so Caleb and his family were able to go and take that land. I love how the Bible describes Caleb. He describes him this way. He wholly followed the Lord. He did everything he could to please God. His faith was strong. May that be our prayer as well, that our faith would be strong. you feel as sorry for him as I do when he turns all red like that? I know that's right. One more thing we want to bring out from the life of Joshua. Not only does he teach us to learn the truth and to live the truth, but finally, he teaches us to leave the truth. Now, that doesn't mean that we should depart from it. That means that Joshua shows us how to leave the truth. At the very end of his life, he got all the people together in Joshua chapters 22, 23, and he rehearsed for them all that God had done for them through the years, through Egypt and through the wilderness and through all the conquering. And then he asked them to commit to God just like he had. He thought it important to leave the truth to the people around him and the people that are behind him. You know, we ought to take that same challenge today. It is not just enough to learn the truth or even just to live the truth, because God's plan is the church through which we leave the truth to the people that are around us and to our children and those that will come behind us. And so may I challenge you today. It's easy, I know, just to sit back in the pew and say, yeah, we'll let everybody else do this stuff. But may we each understand how important it is that God wants us to leave the truth to those around us. We need people that will pray and people that will teach and people that will get out there and put God's word in their heart and in their and put from their heart to their hoof and get out there and live it. We need to be challenged to leave the truth to those that are behind us. Joshua put it this way: choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
There's a choice that must be made, and it's time to take a stand. A time to lift his light as a beacon in this land.
The fields are ripe for harvest.
There's kingdom work to do. I answer, Lord, your calling, and I give myself to you. As for me and my house, we will serve the King. No other gods before him, no other song to sing. Your name will be our shield, Lord, our lives an offering. As for me and my house, we will serve the King of Kings. Your song will be my anthem, and your harmony my joy. Your music my oasis, that no discord can destroy.
My heart will sing your praises.
My voice will lift your name. I stand before you, Father. In your presence I proclaim. As for me and my house, we will serve the King. No other gods before him, no other song to sing. Your name will be our shield, Lord, our lives an offering. As for me and my house, we will serve the King of Kings. Lord, I give my life to you. I bow before your throne. What you ask of me, I'll do. My heart is yours alone. As for me and my house, we will serve the King. No other gods before him, no other song to sing. Your name will be our shield, Lord, our lives an offering. As for me and my house, we will serve the King of Kings. We will serve the King.
Just before I turn it back over to Pastor Adam, I just want to give one last thought. If you would grab a Bible, if you have one, and turn with me over to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. We've seen from the life of Joshua that we ought to learn the truth. We ought to live the truth. But we ought to leave the truth. And may I just end this morning with a caution. Because Joshua did a great job leaving the truth to the people around him and behind him. But let's take a look what happened sometime after that. Because some generation after that dropped the ball. Joshua chapter 2 verse 8 says, "And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them that knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." Someone dropped the ball along the way. And so let's be challenged this morning to not do that. To get in there and learn the truth. Get in God's word day in and day out. To live the truth. Obey what God has for us. But also to be passionate about leaving the truth to the people that are behind us.